Proverbs chapter number 8, and I'm going to read a couple of verses of scripture with you. You may remember that some time ago, it seems like decades ago, but it hasn't been that long. But we started a study in Proverbs, and we just want to talk about the wisdom that the book of Proverbs offers. And it's a father writing unto his son, and he's not only writing to his son, but he's reminiscing of his father as a son, that the wisdom that was passed on to him. And so in Proverbs chapter 8, if you are in Proverbs chapter 8, I would ask you to look, if you would, in verse number 11. In just a moment, we're going to stand, and I'll read our text verse to you. But I want to remind you of a couple of verses that we talked about when we first began our study. In verse number 11 of chapter 8, it says, "For wisdom is better than rubies." And that's a strong statement. Wisdom is better than rubies. "And all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." And so of all the things that you desire in life, according to the Word of God, wisdom needs to be at the top. And then if you'll turn to chapter number 16 of Proverbs, Proverbs 16. Look at verse number 16 of Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16:16 says, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver?" You know, if someone was trying to sell me something and making these kind of statements, if they were trying to sell me wisdom, I would have to question some of this. But this is the Word of God, and God is saying, you know what? I'm not selling. I'm giving. The question is, are you seeking? Because if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. Have you asked God for wisdom today? So, well, I didn't need any wisdom today. We need wisdom every day. Can I encourage you to make it a regular prayer of yours to ask God to give you wisdom? There's just some things I think we ought to pray every day. I think we ought to pray and die to self. I think we need to pray and tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm dying to my will. I want your will to be done. Not my will, but thy will be done." And then we ought to pray, "God, the best I know how, I'm emptying myself of me, and I'm asking you to fill me with you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, that I can make God-like choices that would be pleasing to you, choices that would line up more with what you desire for me than what I desire for me." And then here's a third thing I think would really be beneficial to pray every day. "God, I don't have the wisdom that it takes. I don't have the understanding that it takes to navigate through life. I need you. And I'm praying for your wisdom and your knowledge and your understanding." I think there's other things, and I can't tell you what to pray, but I believe if there's something that, as Christians, that we should have regularly in our prayer time, it would be these things. Tonight I want to talk to you about how to remove some roadblocks to God's blessing in your life. God wants to bless your life. Did you know that? Did you know that God wants to bless you? Now, this is not some feel-good, prosperity type of message. It's a biblical truth. The God of heaven wants to bless me. Now, let me be very clear. The God of heaven has blessed me. Amen. I'm blessed every day. The Bible says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. I wonder if I did that today, and if you have done that today. Now, the Bible doesn't say it. Well, the Bible does say it. The songwriter said it, but the Bible infers it. We need to count our blessings, don't we? Don't we? God's good to us. We need to count our blessings. We need to name them. just say, God, thank you for, and then just start enumerating the things that God has done for us. It just helps us to remember how good God is to us, and that all that we have is from the hand of God. For without Him, we would have nothing. And so, I will ask you to stand to your feet and turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 28, and I want to read a text to you that is very familiar. A text that is very familiar. And tonight, I don't know that I'll do a whole lot of preaching. I don't know. I do want to do some teaching, and it may turn into preaching. Sometimes it happens that way. But I know this. There's truth that I want to give you that will help you as you go through your life. There may be someone, maybe more than someone, that is here tonight, or someone that has joined us by live stream, or that will join us by live stream, that you're wondering why your life is not what you felt it would be, or even feel that it should be. You wonder, is the blessing of God, is it blocked? Is there something in my life that shouldn't be there that is blocking God from blessing me? Now listen, God desires to bless us, but there's things that we can do that would prohibit God to bless us because of His character. God can't bless sin, brethren. Not only He won't bless it, but God can't bless it. How Habakkuk said, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so I want to talk to you about sin. And not just the act of sin, but how that we as believers try to cover up sin. You know, if we read through the scripture, we find where God exposes people that sin, but then He shows us where these people tried to cover their sin. And it goes all the way back to the garden, doesn't it? I mean, Adam and Eve sinned, and what did they do? They tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. They tried to cover their sin. And God dealt with them, and He brought them to a place of confession. In Proverbs 28, I want you to look at verse number 13. And this is the text that I'd like to, over the next couple of few weeks, I just want to talk to you out of this text. God has helped me out of this text through the years, and, well, I hope it'll be a help to you. I wonder, is there anyone in here that is covering up sin? You're living a lie. Now, I'm not indicting you. I'm not accusing you. I'm not doing that. I don't know what's in your heart, but God does. And I want to warn you that if you are trying to live a double life, if you are living a life that is not so, God will expose it, and God will judge it. And if you're covering up sin, if you're living a private life one way and a public life another way, and it doesn't have to be things, you know, sometimes people think when they think of sin, and I think this is sad, I think that we've gotten to a place to where we think of sin, we always think of sins of action. It could be sins of attitude. Let me give you one quick example that we all have to guard against. And that is going out in public and just being kind and smiling to everyone and being friendly and helpful, and then coming home and being a tyrant and a regular jerk. And it can happen. You can take the people that are closest to you and that live under your roof, and you can be unfair to them, you can be unkind to them, and you can say things you shouldn't say to them because you feel familiar and you feel comfortable in saying those things that you would never say out in public. And so I just want to help somebody, okay? I'm not trying to, I want to help you to know that sin can get in our lives, and it can take many forms. It doesn't have to be in the form of drunkenness, or it doesn't have to be in the form of drugs or debauchery. It can be in the form of just a really, really poor attitude, to where we just have a rotten spirit. And so here the scripture says, Proverbs 28, look at it with me if you would, in verse number 13, the scripture says this, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Now that is emphatic, okay? This is an imperative, all right? This is emphatic. It's not, well, you know, you might not, you could, you, No, God said, you will not prosper. You are blocking God's hand of blessing on your life if you cover up your sin. There's one thing that God wants to do. Now listen, we're going to sin, and I'm not giving a green flag or a green light on that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We're going to sin. I'm not making light of it, and I'm not making it something that the Bible doesn't say that it is. We have a sin nature, and we're going to sin. But that doesn't mean that we should cover it and that we should just make light of it. God wants me to deal with sin seriously in my life, and God wants you. If you're saved, God wants you to deal with sin in your life. Quit covering it. Quit excusing it. Quit justifying it. God said you need to confess it and forsake it. Look, if you would. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, I'm glad God forgives sin, aren't you? But he will not forgive covered sin. God forgives confessed sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And if you've been saved any length of time, I trust that you've claimed this promise. And you know the truth that I speak to you about tonight. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But when we cover, we block God's blessing. And we will not allow God to, according to this verse of Scripture, prosper us. God wants to prosper you. And we'll see that in Scripture here in just a moment. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for speaking to my heart. And thank you for helping me. And Lord, I pray you would help your people tonight. Help me to help others. And I pray that the Spirit of God would work through me. God, I confess I cannot bring truths that you have brought to my heart without your aid and without your help. And so I yield myself to you. God, teach through me truths that would help the people tonight. Help us to understand the awful consequences of sin and the awful consequences of covering our sin, and help us to understand the liberty, the freedom, and the forgiveness that comes when we confess and forsake sin in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now, I think everyone here understands I'm a Bible man. I don't try to change the Bible. I want the Bible to change me. You know, there's a lot of people trying to change the Bible. What really needs to happen is that people will allow the Bible to change them, because that's why God gave the Bible. God gave us the Word to change us. God didn't put the Word in our hands to say, now, what do you think? You know, you see anything that needs to be changed? So I want to read this in a way that it's the same truth, but I'm just going to reword it in a way that is not going to do any damage to the text whatsoever. There's an inferred message here that I want you to see. And it's not a difficult, it's not a deep message, but I think it would help us understand what God wants us to learn from this proverb. Look at verse 13. He said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Now, if I were to ask you tonight, do you want to prosper? I think everyone in here would say yes, even before you would ask in what way. And when you say prosper, what are you talking about? The word prosper here is a very interesting word. And the word prosper and prosperity, prosperous, is used in different ways when it's translated into our English. And again, I don't want to get into that because, well, I'm looking at this word. And this word means to come mightily. Do you want to turn out mightily? Do you want to be meet for what God intended you to be meet for? Do you want to accomplish what God left you here to accomplish as a believer? And I believe you do. Really, what it comes down to is when what God is saying here, he that will not cover his sins, I will bless him. That's what he's saying. He's saying, now, look, in the negative, he's saying, if you will not cover your sins, I will prosper you. In the positive, he's saying, if you do cover your sins, I will not prosper you. You see that? That's what God is saying. It's the same truth. It's just one's from a negative perspective and one's from a positive perspective. And so God is saying this. He's saying, listen, you're going to sin. You're going to sin. Now, God doesn't take sin lightly, and I don't want to just put it that way, but when we do sin, we have choices to make. And there's going to be consequences based on our choices. You're going to sin. What do you do when you sin? Do you try to cover it with another sin? Do you try to hide it? Do you disregard it like it's not a big deal? God wants me to deal thoroughly with sin in my life. And God wants you to deal thoroughly with sin in your life. Now, God wants to bless you. And I could show you in many passages of Scripture where God says, I want to bless you. But I'm just going to show you a couple, okay? If you would, turn, if you would, to Psalm 1, okay? The first Psalm, in Psalm 1, and we'll look at just a couple. And we're going to go slow through this. We're going to be in this passage for a couple of weeks, maybe three. And so I intentionally want to slow it down. I thought about just preaching this message tonight, and then it's like God told me, that's foolish. You know, I don't want to preach just to finish. You know, I don't want to preach to my final point. And I want you to get help, and I need help. And God's Word can help us. And so sometimes we just need to slow down, and if we need to take it one quote-unquote point at a time, that's what we'll do. Because sometimes we don't just need to hear and then hear more. We need to do what we've heard and then hear more. Did you get that? You know, sometimes when you leave with a plate full, it's kind of hard to do all that. But if you leave with just one item, well, you go to work on it. And so here in Psalm 1, the psalmist said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now this is the blessed man. This is the man that God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prosper you. All right? I am going to help you if you will do these things. Now watch what he said. If you will do these things, he said in verse number 3, the blessed man, the man that follows these instructions, shall be like a tree, verse number 3, planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I tell you, that it doesn't get any better than that. It's whatever you do, God said, I'm going to see to it that it prospers. I'm going to see to it that you are blessed, and that you not only are blessed, but that you are a blessing, because that's part of prospering. I'm not only going to bless you, I'm going to make you a blessing to others. And so he said, I want you to prosper. I want you to follow some criteria in order that I can bless you and you can prosper. Turn, if you would, to another psalm. I think Psalm 37. Turn there, if you would, to Psalm 37. And this is what God says in Psalm 37. I'll give you an opportunity to get there. I said 37, it's 35, 27. Psalm 35, verse number 27. I want everyone to have time to get there. Now let's look at it, if you would. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, now watch this, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God said, it does me good. I take great pleasure in being able to bless you, in being able to prosper you. You don't have to be concerned, well, does God have my best interest in mind? Does God have what he wants as far as my prosperity? Does God want to exalt? Does God want to advance? Does God want to bless me? Yes. Yes. Now, how does that happen? God said, I want to do it. I desire to do it. And there's other scriptures I could go through. Well, let's go through one more. Turn, if you would, to Joshua. And you know this verse of scripture, Joshua chapter 1. Some of you have it memorized. But I'd wonder if we are doing what it says so that we can receive success. Joshua chapter 1, here we're told how to get success and prosperity. Now, I want to be very clear. Prosperity is not always material things. Now, it could include material things. And God wants to bless. Listen, God blessed a lot of people in the Bible and outside the Bible. In yonder year and in this year, God blesses his people with material blessings. I want to tell you something. I'm a blessed man. Now, by that, I don't mean that I have a lot of material possessions, but there's nothing wrong with having material possessions. But I'm blessed in things that money can't buy. But I'm also blessed in things that money has bought. I'm blessed. I want to ask you a question. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Do you thank God for your blessings? Do you realize that everything that you have comes from the hand of God? I hope that you do. I believe that you do. You don't want to clog up that pipeline, do you? You don't want to cause God to be able to look down and say, I'm not going to be able to bless you any longer. I'm not going to be able to do that. Well, the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Are you confessing your sins? You know, when I first got saved, I've told this story here before. When I first got saved, I knew nothing about the Bible. And there's more that I don't know than I do know, even as I stand here 40 years later, 40 plus years later. And that's not a feigned humility, it's the truth. The more I learn about the Bible, the more I realize what a book. This book is filled with treasure. When Sharon and I first got saved, I didn't know. We didn't know. We had no Christian background. Sharon went to church some, but I didn't. And so I thought it was just a thing you did. I was taught as a Christian, when you sin, you need to confess your sin. You need to tell God you're sorry. I was taught that. And so when I would sin, I would feel terrible. And we'll get to that in just a moment. I'd feel terrible. By the way, one of the ways I know I'm saved is when I sin now, I feel terrible. I mean, I feel dirty. I feel awful. If you can sin and it just kind of just no big deal to you, I'd be real concerned. If sin doesn't bother you, something's not right. Sin bothers me, all right? And I believe it bothers God's people. And you say, well, does it bother you so much that you don't do it? Mind your own business. I'll answer your question with a question. Does it bother you so much you don't do it? And so what I would do is I would sin, and at the end of the day, Sharon and I would have prayer time because I thought that's just what a good Christian husband does. I'm a Christian now, and we're married, and so we'll just get down by our bed, and we'll just say, God, forgive us. We've sinned against you today. Forgive us of our sin. And then I heard a message later that really, I mean, boy, you know, it was very enlightening to me. You need to confess your sin when you commit it. You commit a sin at 8 o'clock in the morning and you pray at 11 o'clock at night, you've gone all day with your fellowship broken from God. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you need to read Scripture. Scripture's very clear on that. Sin separates us from God. Sin breaks fellowship with God. If you're saved, it doesn't break your relationship with God, but it does break your fellowship with God. Amen? The Bible teaches this. And so here I was sinning, just sinning and sinning, and I'd find myself with a bad attitude and not feeling, you know, the way I thought that Christians ought to feel or acting the way Christians ought to act. And it's because I wasn't confessing my sin. And when I did confess it, I just kind of threw it in there to get God forgive me. I'd say something like, if I've sinned today, yeah, fat chance. If I've sinned today, forgive me. Well, God doesn't want me dealing with my sin that lightly. Call it what it is. Amen. God, today, I said something to a person I shouldn't have said. Christians shouldn't say that to somebody. I had a thought about a person today I shouldn't have had, God, and I'm asking you to please forgive me. Do you see what I'm saying? And if we're not careful, we'll take sin so lightly, and maybe that's why we become accustomed and maybe a little comfortable with sin. We just don't treat it like the nasty, filthy thing that it is. Sin destroys our lives. Sin is destroying people's fellowship with God. And here in Joshua, the scripture says in verse number 8, chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Why? "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And so when I'm not doing what God said do, I'm blocking God's blessings on my life. When I'm going against the direct teachings of the Word of God, God's not going to bless me. God's good, and I'm glad that He's good. But if I have willful, unconfessed, covered sin in my life, God's not going to bless me. He's not going to bless you either. And so I want you to turn, if you would, just for a moment to Psalm 51. And this is where we'll spend the remainder of our time for tonight. So I thought about this. I thought, now, when it comes to this thing of covering our sin, and the Bible mentions, I mean, we could name character after character. That's one of the things I really appreciate about the Bible, and that is God's forthcoming in His transparency on people's lives that He loved and that He used. He just tells us all about them. He doesn't cover their sin. Now, they tried to cover their sin, but God didn't. God didn't. You know, I heard a man say one time, and I believe this, when we try to cover our sin, God will uncover it. But when we uncover it, God covers it. Aren't you glad for that? You know, the Bible teaches that charity covereth, love covereth a multitude of sins. You know, God, he doesn't want to exploit our sin. He doesn't. Now, He will expose it, and I'm glad that He does, aren't you? I'm glad that God exposes sin in my life. The Holy Spirit of God tells me, hey, that's wrong. And then I have a choice to make. Am I going to listen to God, or am I going to listen to my flesh, or am I going to listen to the devil? And sometimes I listen to God, and sometimes I don't. And when I don't listen to God, it takes a matter of peace from me. And it takes some things from us. Sin always takes from you. It promises to give, but it always takes, brethren. It always takes. And so I thought about this man, David. And I want to give you some things here that uncovered sin will do in our lives. Now, tonight I'm just going to mention it. And I want to leave you with a little bit of a remedy, and then we'll kind of dig into it as we go. So tonight we're just going to hit, as the old preachers used to say, we're just going to hit the treetops. All right? And so I want you to just follow along and look at this. Here is a man. Notice, are you at Psalm 51? Notice what the scripture says. It says at the very top of it, a plea for forgiveness. Now, your Bible may or may not say that, because this is a heading that is placed there by men. A plea for forgiveness. And it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba." And so the backdrop on this, and I'm not going to go in detail with the history. Pastor David's preaching on David on Sunday night, and if you're not coming, I really would encourage you to be on Sunday night to hear. David's life is fascinating. Yeah, I mean, that is at the least. It is something else. And if you can't find yourself somewhere in David's account, then something's not right. I mean, it's amazing how God took this boy and how He made him the shepherd king of Israel, and how God worked in his life, all through his life, and kept His hand on him. It's just amazing. Do you know God can do that for you too? He's doing it for me. I'm grateful for that. And so David had sinned. He went into Bathsheba. And to try to cover his sin, he called her husband in from the battlefield. You know the story, right? He called her husband Uriah in, and he said, I just want to get through this, so I'm not going to try to get into detail, and I don't mean get through it in an irreverent way, but I have some truth in this chapter I want to get to. And so he said, why don't you just relax some and go over and visit with your wife, because she had told him that she was with child. And he was trying to cover that sin, and it didn't work out for him, did it? You know the story. Uriah wouldn't do it. He said, how can I? How can I? When my kings, men, when my brethren are out there fighting, how can I relax and go in and do this? He said, and he slept right outside the king's door. You know, well, you know the story. They sent him to the front line. And whether it was homicide or murder, I'm not really sure how all that panned out, but Uriah's life was taken. And so, you know, when you begin, when I began, when we begin to cover sin, brethren, it just keeps on going, doesn't it? Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. When we try to cover our sin, it just keeps on going. It just keeps on going. When you tell a lie, guess what? You got to tell another one. When you're dishonest, you have a decision to make. You're either going to have to come clean or you're going to have to continue to be dishonest. And it just keeps on leading to things that it shouldn't lead into. And so the Bible says, do not cover your sin. There are consequences for covering your sin. Now, I'm not supposing that somebody's living a double life like David, another woman. I don't know. I don't know what people have going on. But sin is not just sins of action. It's sins of attitude. As I mentioned earlier, somebody could be all smiling and shaking hands on the job and with their clients and their customers and in church, and they go home and, I mean, just be a jerk. And God is not pleased with that kind of thing. Someone can be untruthful or just covering and hiding and concealing things. God's not pleased with that in our lives. Is he, brethren? God's not pleased with that. God wants us to be transparent. And all of us are tempted to be dishonest. All of us are tempted to exaggerate the truth or tell lies. All of us are tempted to do that. There's no temptation taking us but such as common to man. And we have decisions to make. How are we going to deal with sin in our life? All of us are tempted to do things we shouldn't do and tempted to not do things we should do. And so here in Psalm 51, we have a picture. It's almost like God said, I'm going to put David's confession on display to teach you what unconfessed sin does. Now, I didn't finish the story with David. If you'll come on Sunday nights, if you haven't heard it in a while, you'll get refreshed, okay, with the story of David and all the things that he got himself into. And it was just, it's sad to see a man of character and a man of means, a man that God has his hand on to stumble. But none of us are above it now. None of us are above it. Now here's David. And David comes to the place, the scripture says, if you'll notice, it's when David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him. And I don't know if you remember the little parable that Nathan gave David. And I tell you, David, this is what sin will do now when you're covering it, so please don't miss this. He gave him a little prophet about a ewe lamb, and he said, what do you think ought to happen to me? He said, yeah, boy, I tell you right now, they ought to tear that person apart. You know what Nathan said, right? You're it. Thou art the man. You're the one. You know what makes people very, very judgmental? Covered sin. It does. I've noticed in my ministry, of 40 years now, the most judgmental, pharisaical, unkind, just nasty, terrible spirit Christians are people who are living a double life. Always finding fault with other people. Always. I mean, you can't even carry on a 3-minute conversation without them having something bad to say about someone else. So you be careful now about a critical spirit, a gossiping spirit, a tale-bearing, a whispering spirit, just always negative. Usually, the source is unconfessed sin in our lives. And the only way we can deal with it is to make everyone else look as dirty as we are. Instead of cleaning up ourselves, we want to make everyone else look as dirty as we are. Let's look at this. The first thing I want you to see is sin dirties the soul. And I'm just going to give you some things here, and we'll delve into them in the weeks to come. It dirties the soul. Look what he said here. Verse 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Watch it now. Wash me thoroughly for mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. You see those two words, wash and cleanse? David said, I'm dirty, Lord. I'm dirty. Sin makes you feel dirty, doesn't it? It does. If you say you're a Christian, and I'm not doubting anyone here. I'm not. I'm just trying to help you to understand, when we sin and we don't confess it, we try to cover it or just carry on, it just makes us feel dirty. And we'll begin to view life through a dirty lens. And we begin to see everybody as dirty. And if they're not as dirty as we'd like for them to be, we'll just smear them in the dirt so they'll be dirtier. And that's just terrible. And so here's David, and he said, Lord, I feel dirty. I want you, look at it in verse number 2. I want you to wash me thoroughly. God, I can't. You say, well, was David, I mean, did he not have like bath water? Oh, he's not talking about washing his flesh, brethren. David's talking about a deep cleansing. Thoroughly. He said, go deep. Go into my soul. That's where I feel dirty. I feel dirty down in the depths of my soul. Wash me, cleanse me from my sin. So the first thing, it dirties the soul. The second thing, we'll get into that in our future study. It dominates the mind. Look at verse number 3. For I acknowledge my transgression. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. I can't get it off my mind. You know, I'm driving down the road, my sins. God's reminding me, hey, you need to get this thing right. I'm trying to concentrate on my work, and the Spirit of God speaks to me and says, what you going to do about that situation? How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm so glad the Holy Spirit of God won't leave me alone. Aren't you? Come on, church, aren't you? Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit of God won't leave you alone? You say, I wish God just leave me alone. No, you don't. You don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. I've had people tell me, you know, why don't you just leave me alone? Yeah, you know, you think that's what you want until God doesn't speak to you anymore. And no one cares for your soul. You would to God 1,000 times over God didn't leave you alone. And I'm thankful God still tells me when I sin. I'm glad God still reminds me and just will not let me go. He just will not let me carry on. He just keeps on. I try to go to sleep, and God just brings it up into my mind. I'm trying to concentrate on something, whether it be studying or whether something else, and God will remind me, you know what? You did not handle that situation correctly. I'm glad God does that for me. God will do it for you too, and I believe he does it for you. Does he? Aren't you glad? Amen. Now look at the next thing. Not only that, not only does it dirty the soul and dominates the mind, but it depresses the heart. Look at verse number 8. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. I've lost my joy, Lord. Look at verse 12. He says that. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. God, I've lost my joy. Are you joyful? Are you rejoicing? The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. Christians ought to be rejoicing. People say, well, you can't be happy all the time. I didn't say be happy. I said rejoice. Joy cometh from the Lord. Amen? And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so if you want just joy, just flooding, we have to keep short accounts with God. That's what the old timers used to call it. Short accounts with God. Just confess your sin. Don't try to cover it. And then we'll get to the forsaken part in a moment. So let me navigate on down through here. Not only does it dirty the soul and dominate the mind, it depresses the heart. Look at in verse number 8, it diseases the body. You say, now wait a minute, that can happen. Oh, yes, it can and it does. It's called psychosomatic illness. We talked about it when we were talking out of Proverbs about a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Remember? Notice, if you would, down in verse number 8. Verse number 8, he says this. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Why? That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You say, you believe that God beat David up? I think it's a figure of speech. You ever said, I feel crushed under this load? Was you really crushed? I'm coming apart at the seams. Did you really come apart at the seams? I think what David is saying is the pressure, the guilt that I'm feeling from this sin is haunting me. It's worse. It's nagging me like a broken bone. It's painful. Let me move on. It not only does that, but it defiles the spirit. Look at verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Look at this now. Verse number 10 of Psalm 51. And renew a right spirit within me. He said, God, this sin in my life has caused me to have a wrong spirit. I have a bad spirit. I'm defensive or negative or critical or condemning, or, you know, if we're not careful, that kind of spirit will define us, and God doesn't want us to be defined by that spirit, does he? But when we have unconfessed sin in our life, it can just happen so gradually that we'll be the only one that does not realize that our spirit is terrible. And so David said, my spirit's bad. And God, I want you, and again, look at the latter part of verse number 10. He said, God, I want you to create and renew a right spirit within me. Not only does cover sin do those things, look if you would in verse number 12 through 15, it destroys our testimony. And it takes away our praise. When you come to church, when you look around and you see other people praising the Lord and saying amen, or however they express their worship, you may not raise your hand. You may not say verbally amen. Maybe your tears swell up with your eyes swell up with tears, or maybe you just kind of sit and reflect on the goodness of God. That's your way of worship. I don't know. But I know this, if you'll look at verse number 12, David said this. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Lord, I've quit caring about sinners, and I've quit caring about reaching people and ministering to people because of my unconfessed sin, because of the condition that I was in, and I did not have a clear channel. That fellowship was broken, and I didn't care that people didn't have a relationship with you. He went on to say in verse number 15, he said, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Now here's the sweet psalmist of Israel. Used to sing and play his harp, used to praise God, and he's lost his song. Unconfessed sin will take your song. What can I do, preacher? Well, our time is up tonight. You say, well, you can't just leave me there. I'm in a mess, preacher. Hey, man, what are you going to do? Oh, you're going to whip me with 40 stripes, save one, and then say, do better? Well, I'm going to give you this, okay? Most of you have memorized 1 John 1:9. And I'll tell you what God wants you to do. God wants me, God wants you to just come clean. You don't need this preacher to tell you when you sin. You don't need your spouse to tell you when you sin, though I'm sure he or she does. You know, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And he'll tell you every time when you sin. Every time. The question is not, is he speaking? The question is, am I listening? Am I listening? When God tells me that I've sinned, am I listening? Has my hearing become so dull that I can't hear clearly that God is telling me when I'm doing wrong? I hope no one here tonight is in that place. But you know what? You can become dull of hearing. God can tell you over and over again to where it's almost like your heart and your hearing become callous like your hands when it just something rubs over it again and again and again, and then you begin slowly to lose feeling. And I just pray that no one would be here tonight that has gotten to that place to where you no longer hear God when he tells you, hey, stop. You need to stop that. That's not right. You're a Christian. Act like it. God tells me that, and I'm glad that he does. If we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want to give you more scripture in the weeks to come, but I'll leave you with that tonight. If those seven things that I gave you out of Psalm 51, that unconfessed sin did to David, if any of that was in your life, I wonder tonight if you would just say, as we stand to our feet in just a moment, go ahead and stand. If you would say, Lord, I'm guilty. And I confess my sin. Now, that's not all there is, okay? Because the proverb said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And if you want to open up the floodgate of God's blessing and mercy, you need to confess your sin. But there's another step. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Thank God for forgiveness, but God gives mercy too. God will continue to bless you. That's, you know, mercy is just God not doing what he should do in your life. And God should judge you, but if you'll confess, he'll forgive you. But now if I cover, it's not going to work out well for us. Would you bow your head with me? Well, I hope it wasn't too scattered. I had so much material, and I wanted to just give an overview to try to help you to understand that God is very serious about sin in the life of the believer. Now, he's concerned about sin, period. But when we get saved, God just doesn't cease to become concerned about sin in our lives. He's, I think, actually more concerned because we represent him, and he wants us to represent him well. We're going to have a moment of silence. If God has spoken to your heart, if God has revealed to your heart, your mind, a sin that you've been hiding or covering, deal with it, would you? For your sake, for God's sake, for your family's sake, for your church's sake. Please. We're connected. We're a body. Let's do the right thing.